sad faces from Kopitar and Yadi just now. Quick's departure, how do you get him back on track? Chemistry, just the feeling in the room that, you know, a core guy left.
Well, a core guy did leave, and it's not an easy day for especially those two because they were teammates and went through a championship run more than once with Quickie. And to expect them to come in here and jump up and down and be full of smiles would be not a very good expectation on our behalf. But we also have to move on, and this is the cliche or whatever it is. We felt that we needed to address a certain area of the game, and the organization did. Unfortunately, Quickie was part of that decision. But at the end of the day, and this is going to sound a little bit callous, but we got to move on and we got to go play. And the staff has a responsibility for doing its job and trying to prepare the group as well as it can, and the players have their responsibility to be as well prepared as they possibly can be. And now we have to play, and that's what's ahead of us.
I think, Todd, I think most people obviously understand who's coming in and how you guys address the needs and what's what.
Yep.
And maybe you just touched on it a little bit, but what's not only what's your role in shepherding the team through the aftermath and whatsoever, but maybe Andre's role in it, given his tie to Jonathan and that he's the captain of this team.
Well, there's two parts to that. That question, my role may be a little bit easier than Kopi's. I wasn't here when they were putting the banners up, and I do have a very sentimental attachment to Quickie. I appreciate it. I watched him all those years. But Kopi's is going to be tougher because he's more emotionally tied to him, and he still puts the equipment on, and he has to have the energy to play. So I or the coaching staff, it's never just about one individual. We have to make sure that we're pushing the right buttons right now. We have to get a real good, honest effort from our group today and then get a good practice in, and then we've just got to go. And I think Kopi, well, no, I don't think. I know Kopi and Drew, they're the two remaining players. They're aware of why things were done, and we don't expect them to be happy losing a teammate, but we do expect them to be happy that we think we got better as a team and we have given them another chance at winning a championship and the new players a chance at winning the championship.
It may seem obvious to ask, but you've been here when trades were made to rebuild. This signals a different stage for this group, right? That this is trade is made to make improve your team now.
Yeah. It's a good point, but I think some of these things have been happening, just not necessarily on this day or in this time frame. You look at the signings, Fiala trade in the summer. That was a commitment to this team this year and many more years out. And this deal, again, was a commitment to this group right now and many more years out. And we're trying... The organization's trying to put together the best team possible to play as long as we possibly can this year and year after and year after. And I think you're accurate in assessing that we're moving forward and trying to gain more traction and become an elite team. Yeah, I think I understand. I'll try and answer the question, and then you can tell me if I got it. But Jeff Carter and Trevor Lewis and Kyle Clifford and Jake Muzzin and I don't know. There's you can go on and on. They all left, but they left at a different time when the team was being torn down a little bit. And for me, that would be harder as a player, as a coach, because you're sitting there going, like, all my buddies just left, and, like, we don't have a real good chance at winning for a little while. Now we lost a real good teammate and an icon, But I'm now sitting, or as a player, maybe you're sitting there going, okay, I get it, but we have a chance to win. And that responsibility falls on me as an individual and us as teammates to go and do what we have to do. So I'm not sure if I answered your question, but it's how I...
For the new guys, like Gavrikov, I assume is left outside. So will he play tonight? He's been off for a while. And how do you, does Sean go back to the right side? How do you think you're going to
do that? I'll start in goal. So Copley's going to play tonight. Give Corposalo a day to get used to equipment and surroundings. Gavrikov, it would be nice to give him that luxury, but he hasn't played since the middle of February. So he is going to play tonight. We briefly went over a few things with him this morning as far as how we want to play in structure and what some of our responsibilities are on the ice. And then we've just got to let him play. And being off for 2 weeks isn't going to help him, but he's excited about playing. And tomorrow we get a practice, and we just try and get better as a group with them included.
Who do you pair him with?
Who do I pair?
Gavrikov
tonight. We'll play with Walker tonight.
On those guys, from the 10,000-foot perspective, what are you getting in those two players from a scouting, stylistic point of view?
What are we getting? Well, again, let's start with the D-man. We're getting a size defender. I talked to Brad Larson. He used the word a soldier. Pays the price for his teammates to have a chance at success. He sells out, he should improve the penalty kill. With Corposalo, we're getting a guy with playoff experience, a player that has had a really good season, coming off an injury last year. Both players are really excited about the opportunity, so they inject a little bit of enthusiasm into a group that has it, but it's the grind time. It's March 1st. That's tough time of the year. And we have more depth in the organization now, especially on the back end in bringing Gavrikov in.
All year, but in your discussions with Rob, when did you guys kind of pivot towards saying, okay, we should improve the situation in season? And also, if you could comment on the deal for Portillo, give you guys some organizational depth there as well.
Yeah, and they kind of go together. It's, the plan heading into training camp in this season was that we have two goaltenders and we're going to continue to develop the ones that are in the organization and let's go. But plans don't always, freely fall out and as you expect. There's hitches in it. And obviously throughout the year we saw that we needed to make a change initially and now we needed to make another one. And part of that retooling in the crease included Portillo. I know less about him, obviously, than Corposalo. I know that he's a really highly regarded prospect, a big man, plays in a real good program, and is excited about joining our organization. So that's all of that's exciting, and we look forward to getting him involved in the organization.
Pat, both you and Rob, like you mentioned, Gavrikov's size and style of play, more defensive, is a big reason why you target. Is that an area that you guys really thought that you needed improvement on? Is that something?
Well, we're giving up too many goals. We are. What's ironic is, we bring Fiala in because we got to add to scoring. We don't have enough. Now we have scoring, and we're giving up too many. So. We have to solidify our defensive play. That's defensemen, that's forwards, that's the coaching staff, and that's the goaltender. So two pieces came in to try and help us in that area.
Does that size also help you look at maybe game 83 in the postseason? Is that another?
Well, yeah, he's built and he plays the way those type of players can be effective at that time of year. I thought we saw it in Winnipeg the other day. Not complaining about the officiating, but it was more playoff type calls, in my opinion, than there were in November. And I don't know if it's going to go that route or if it's going to change. But that type of player can be a good player for you in case of that.
Aside from his legacy, really, with the franchise and your personal connections with Jonathan whatsoever. Aside from all that, did you lose faith in just his on ice?
No. No, we kept, I think if you go back and look at, and I think you're asking me as an individual, but if you go back and you look at the comments, I haven't lost faith in Cal Peterson. I think that we have and had outstanding goaltenders. Sometimes it's not working right at certain segments of the season, but that didn't diminish our belief in him, no.
From the outside, it seems like there's a good fusion, just of the leadership group, the coaching staff, just the ability of this team, as we've been over a billion times, to respond to adversity well. Having left Jonathan, what is it about this group and that fusion together that you can attribute as unique to this season as it relates to the team's ability to get through emotionally challenging moments?
They want to win. They want to win. That's what we're all here for. And again, that's not to, you know, those words flow out of my mouth, and it's not to diminish Quickie or anything like that. But you asked me the question, and the players want to win. It was 3 years ago when, you know, we finished that 56-game season in Colorado. Look at the lineup then, and look at the lineup now. And we had players knocking on the door saying, hey, it's time, we want to win. Let's make this team better. Let's bring players in. And the coaching staff was doing that. And the management was doing that. We want to win. And if you want to win and you're working towards it, you got to overcome a lot of stuff.
Maybe the other night was the clearest example of it. But as much as we've discussed what you guys do well, maybe not so well throughout the course of the year, how much just the resiliency, how much is that? Has it even surprised you, or just that trait become a real defining trait for this particular club?
I think it's a characteristic that we have on our team is the resiliency and the ability to come back. Interestingly enough, before we went on this road trip, we were talking about giving up leads in the game. But that's a little bit different. That's a night and a couple goals here and there. We're talking about the overall character of the team is pretty resilient. I think that grew last year when we lost all the defensemen and had to call a bunch of kids up and they started to play and we realized, hey, we're okay. Doesn't matter who plays, we have enough structure and we trust each other, we can get some things done.
Well, how much of the emphasis bringing in Vlad was on balancing the defense pairing? Because from Rob's comments and yours today, it sounds like you're still looking at some linemen before Wright, is correct?
We have seven... seven NHL quality defensemen and kids. I call it eight with Toby and nine with Spenny. We're in game one with a new defenseman. We want to play him with a right-handed D-man. Will Sean Walker be Gavi's partner tomorrow at practice? I can't tell you that. But tonight he's going to play with Sean Walker because we've got a lefty and a righty and we don't have to disrupt any of the other pairs. He hasn't played for 2 weeks. He skated, but I'm sure, you know, twirling around on your own is way different than playing against the Montreal Canadiens as a traded player when you're a little bit anxious and everybody's looking at you. So we're trying to do our best to get the most out of a player and a team tonight. So I even think like the surprise, boy, you're playing him there. Yeah, that's the plan for tonight. But I'd use pencil, I wouldn't use ink. Do you guys still do that? No, phone. Use your
backspace.
Yeah, use your pinky, not your pointing finger.
Quick question, if I could. Drew and Andre were talking about the emotion of the high of that win and then how low it got after finding out that Quick got traded. Rob Blake mentioned that he first told Quick and then he spoke with Andre and Drew separately. But then he also mentioned that he spoke with Deneau. How important is Deneau's leadership right now, right? Because obviously emotion with Andre and Drew, they're still going to be great leaders, but also to show the faith in Deneau to take charge in that and make sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, and I'd start by saying that Deneau has a very emotional attachment to Quickie as well. It stunned him a little bit too. But it is another tier of leadership. 12 months ago at this time, we were talking about Brown, Quick, Kopitar, and Doughty. and one retired, one is moved on now, and we're down to the two, and they're very valuable. Somebody has to pick up the void, and Phil Deneau wears a letter for a reason. He's proven that he has the ability to interact in the locker room properly and at the right time. And that was one of those times. So it was very easy to pull him aside and talk to him about the group as well.
With 20 games left, is it ideally would you like to see Corpusello 10, Copley 10?
I think what we want to do right now is make sure that both of them understand they're really important and that they are both considered starters. So is it going to be balanced? I don't know. Even starting Copley tonight, he's won 18 of, 27 games or whatever it is. I don't know exactly his record, but he's done a hell of a job for us, and we want him to know that just because we brought a goaltender in doesn't mean he disappears. He's valuable, and he's done a really good job. So I can't tell you it's going to be 10 and 10 or what the ideal case is. I know we have to win some games, so that will come into the decision process.
There was the expectation that the team would pursue a left shot defenseman. I know a lot of it is from the outside, but it was, you know, kind of commonly seen. But like, how long had you kind of in the back of your mind begun thinking of how you might tinker? Were a left-handed defenseman to be acquired?
I don't think we're done doing that. You know, it goes along the lines of how are they going to. How's everything going to fit? And that happens no matter what you do when you acquire a player based on experience. It's, okay, how are they going to fit? What's the best fit? And we might say, hey, you know what? We'd like to play them with this individual, and it just doesn't work. And then you go to the next one, and oh, wow, that's a home run. I think we can have a plan, but it better be pliable. It better be something that we can change until we find the answers.
Yeah, you moved on from San Jose when it happened, like, you know, Patty going to Toronto, Jumbo going to Florida. I mean, it's just some guys you associate with a certain franchise. It's kind of bizarre to see another uniform. Quickie moving on now, potentially to a division rival. I mean, how strange is that going to feel, you think, when you look forward to it?
I think it's going to be very strange. It's not going to feel natural. It happens, though. It really does. It's for the media people, I use the word marbles. And this is the disappointing thing for me about the trade deadline, is that I look around the room and how many people are in here today. You're not all here when we do this on a regular basis. There's not cameras here all the time. You're here because something unique really happened. But there's lives that are involved. There's marbles that are being traded from pocket to pocket, and we sometimes forget about that. When we look over and we see Quickie in another uniform, or Wayne Gretzky leaves Edmonton and he comes to LA, it's never normal. It's not natural, but it happens. The unfortunate part of it is sometimes how it happens, with everyone's holding a phone, and stuff gets out, and families. It affects families all over the league, and there's nobody to blame. It's just the way it is today.
Looking at Corpusello, he's obviously having a great season this year, but there's been some consistency issues in his career. Does having Bill Ranford, who seems to drastically improve every goalie he works with, make you confident that the best version of Corpusello is going to be what you have?
Yes, that helps, but we think we have the best Corpusello right now based on his play this season. Last year, injuries, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's right now. And we need him for a good run here at the end, and we'll see where everything goes from there. So we think we have the best Corpusello right now, and I think Billy can help him.
You mentioned Gavrikov hasn't played a while. How difficult is it to just drop a guy in the lineup 20 games ago, try and find chemistry? How do you help them get that chemistry?
It's probably a lot more difficult for Gabby than for us. And you have to remember what he's going to be feeling. He's going to step on the ice, a new arena, new locker room. He doesn't even know how to get to the crypto, I guess it's called crypto arena. Like, somebody's got to get him there. There's a lot going on in their worlds right now, but he's going to step on the ice. He'll be nervous, new teammates. Coaches are going to be using words that don't mean anything to him, but it means something to everybody else, system, structure. But we have to play him.
Last question.
And that's what we want to do. And he'll, it won't be perfect, but I think he'll do a really good job.
Housekeeping on Moore, is he on track to get back?
We're certainly hoping. He has felt better over the last couple of days. So I don't know how he felt today. I haven't been able to meet with the training staff or talk to Trevor himself since the skate this morning. But I know when I spoke to him prior to, he was feeling better.
Okay.